Hi, this is Mark Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled Return to the Word in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. We're warned not to allow the things we have heard to slip. In our case, the things we have heard refers to God's Word that we have heard and read and confessed with our mouths. God told Joshua not to allow the Word to depart from before his eyes, but to keep it in the midst of his heart. If we have allowed ourselves to slip in this area of communing with God and his word, the solution is very simple. Repent. Turn around from the direction that we're heading and set our eyes on God's word. By doing so, we will recover ourselves from whatever hole we find ourselves in. Return to the word. I hope that you enjoy this message. Like to begin with prayer. Heavenly Father, Father, we want to pray for the families of the people in Las Vegas that have lost loved ones, and we want to pray for those that were injured in the shootings the other day. Father, I believe in the name of Jesus that healing is being ministered to the physical bodies of those who were hurt. And Father, that I believe that there's healing that's taking place on the inside of the people that are in fear because of what took place. And Father, I thank you. I thank you, Father, for your healing power. I thank you, God, for ministering to these people's lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the opportunity to minister your word this evening. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. The teacher, we welcome you to teach us tonight. And we come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. I arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And I thank you, Father, for our victory in Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. So this evening, as I was praying there, we had the incident with the shootings in Las Vegas, and just before we went on the air tonight, I was just thinking about those, thinking about praying for the people. And it's interesting that one of the things that the people on the television keep asking about was, what's the motive? What was the motive for the individual shooting the people, hurting and injuring so many? And it's so interesting to realize that how many people are oblivious to the fact that it's just the fact that there's spiritual death in the earth. The fact that the man was full of darkness. He was that dark on the inside that he would take so many people's lives and put so many people in fear. And it's indicative of where we are today in this world. And it's so important as Christians that we don't allow the things that are taking place in the world to keep us bound up, to keep us silent, and to cause us to be in worry like the rest of the world. I would imagine that in this country there are hundreds of thousands of people right now that are, because of what took place, that they're in fear. They're worried, they're anxious. God doesn't want us to live that way. God doesn't want us to be subject to the things of this world, subject to the whims of the devil. That's ridiculous. We need to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We need to put on the full armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. And I'm telling you what we saw in Las Vegas this past Sunday evening, that was the wiles of the devil. That's exactly what that was. The enemy was able to manifest his desires through a human being, a very deceived human being, someone that was, again, full of darkness. But it doesn't mean as Christians that we're to be in fear and trepidation and anxious because the enemy has been able to successfully do the things that he's done there in Las Vegas. No, we need to be strong in the Lord Jesus. We need to be bold in the things of God, not draw back, not be cowardice, not allow those things to cause us to just draw back. No, in no way. So I hope that you as a believer, that you're not shaken when you see these things, and you understand that these things are going to happen, particularly as we get closer to the return of the Lord Jesus. He's coming back. He is coming back soon. And we know when we look at the book of Revelation that prior to his return, that there's going to be wickedness at every turn. But it doesn't mean that we have to be subject to it. We still have the authority in the name of Jesus. And it kind of brings me to what we're talking about this evening, which is kind of a little bit of a continuation from last week's. Last week's message was, don't let it slip. And don't allow the things of God to slip. Don't allow the things that Jesus has bought and paid for with his life to slip through our fingers. How do we do that? There's so many ways that we can allow these things to slip. One of the primary ways, just one of them, is the fact that the enemy, it seems like he's just so good at this constant dripping, drip, 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 and it kind of gets us to where we may at one point have been very strong, very adamant about our confessions, confessing God's word, speaking God's word. But that drip, 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 that constant drip, and before you know it, you turn around and you look and you haven't been doing your confessions for months or even years. And how is it? It somehow, just the drip of the constant day in and day out effects of this world cause us to let these things slip through our fingers. Every one of us is guilty of this. There's not anyone that's exempt. There's no one that got saved and they were just 100% from that point till the day they died and went to be with the Lord. Absolutely not. There's ups and downs. There's times that you're more enthusiastic about the things of God, that you're hungry and you're motivated, and you spend time with the Lord, and you're anxious to spend time with the Lord. You're anxious to spend time in His Word. And then there's times that you turn around and you look and you think, my goodness, it's been months since I was alone with the Lord. It's been months since I spent time with the things of God and focused on His Word and confessing His Word and acknowledging the things that He's done for me. Why? Why is it? It's just that constant drip, drip the enemy orchestrates in our life from the things of this world. And, as I was saying that a moment ago, I had this picture inside of me, and I remember this as a child. We would go to the ocean. I remember as a child some of the first times that we went to the ocean in Florida. And I remember looking out and seeing that vast ocean and thinking, man, that's huge. And I'll never forget my mother when we got down close to the shoreline where the water was coming up. I'll never forget my mother said that there, be careful because there's an undertow. And I couldn't understand what she was talking about until I stepped in the water. And the current, as the water would go up onto the beach and then subside back into the ocean again, it would draw you. There was a drawing. It's like pulling you. And you think, how can water have such a strong force against me? I mean, I had this little picture. I mean, when I'm in the bathtub, I don't feel pulled towards the drain. But it's because there's so much water and there's such a massive force being pulled, and you're being pulled with it. And yes, it's simply water, but it's the magnitude of that water, it's the volume of it that's drawing you in. And why do you bring that up, Mark? That's what happens with the world. We are surrounded by this world. We're surrounded by people that, my goodness, they're living all kind of horrible lives. And just the constant pull of living in a fallen world. You know, everything around us is darkness. We are the light. We carry the light within us, and we are to light the darkness wherever we go. And unfortunately, sometimes it seems like our light gets a little bit dim, and we start looking too much like the world instead of us giving off the light and lighting the areas we go to. It seems like the other way around. And unfortunately, when that happens, if you're not careful, you know, one day can turn into 1 week, can turn into 1 year, and the next thing you know, you haven't spent time with the Lord for who knows how long. You haven't been serious. You haven't been focused on the things of God. And what have you done? You have allowed the things of God to slip right through your fingers. Let's look at these verses. These are what we looked at last time, Hebrews chapter 2. I always have difficulty with the first verse where it says therefore, without going into a long explanation about the word therefore. And all I can say at this point is therefore here is saying, because of everything that's said in the first chapter talking about Jesus, particularly the looking back to chapter 1 verse 1, how it begins, God who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. The subject there in those two verses is referring to God speaking to us. First, he spoke to us by the prophets. Then, now he has spoken to us by his Son. And then he goes on to talk about his Son, talk about the things that Jesus has experienced for us and what he accomplished for us. And it begins there in verse 1 of chapter 2. Therefore, now look at this. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Remember, chapter 1 begins with God speaking to us. He spoke to us by the prophets. He spoke to us by Jesus. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time, say that with me, any time, we should let them slip. This can happen to any believer at any time. Nobody's exempt from it. There's no super Christians that's exempt from allowing these things to slip. It can happen to any one of us. And when it does, which is what we're going to talk about tonight, what do you do when you've let it slip? You know, he said, don't let it slip. So obviously, if he had to tell you, don't let it slip, then understanding of that verse is that people are going to let it slip, and he's warning you, don't do your best, don't let it slip. But there's some of us that have, many of us have let things slip. You know, let's say you have followed the Lord, you have grown, you've developed in the things of God, you've matured. You know, maybe you have seen him do miraculous things in your life, miraculous things when you've prayed for people, miraculous things in your family and in your job, and just the supernatural presence of God is just with you all the time. Somewhere along the way, life seemed to get in the way, and as a result, your focus of attention tended to shift onto the things of this natural world and away from the things of God. And I'm not saying that you necessarily entered into sin, but what I am saying is that your life was passing you by, and instead of engaging it and continuing to grow and develop and to share the things you were learning with others, you became more self-absorbed. You became more focused on yourself and the things of your life. And consequently, the things of God began to slip. And maybe you're there right now. I'm going to tell you something. Let me give this to you as a warning. Not that God's mad at you. That's not what I'm, when I say a warning, I'm not referring to anything like that. My warning is that it's the enemy that looks for these opportunities when your guard is down, when maybe your picture that you have of yourself in your spiritual walk, maybe that picture is not a very promising picture. Believe me, that's when the enemy loves to attack Christians, because he quickly can make you feel like you're on your heels. And it's at that point, that's a very crucial time. What are you going to do? Are you going to continue in that backward direction? Or are you going to dig your heels in and do the things that you know to do? See, this is what spiritual maturity is all about. It's when you're facing those times that you know what the right answer is. You know what you're supposed to be doing. You know that you can sense that the enemy has you in his crosshairs. And you know what you need to do in order to get yourself spiritually back in the place that you're supposed to be in. Now, whether or not you do it, it's your choice. God's not to blame. You know, God is in through the person of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say he's probably been warning you. You know, get back in the Word. Get back in confessing my Word. Get back to spending time with me. He's probably been warning you. He's probably been stirring you on the inside to do this. And for whatever reason, you have continued to ignore those subtle drawings from the Holy Ghost. Well, let me just tell you that it's not too late. It's not too late to turn that boat around and begin to spend time with the Lord. And so this evening, what I want to share with you is how you can do that. What is an easy way to begin that process of turning things around and heading in a positive direction where you're growing and maturing and you're developing again, and you're seeing the effects of your maturing with the Lord. You're seeing that in your life, and you're not lethargic. You're not apathetic to the things of God, to the to what's going on around you. You see, if you stay in that attitude, if you stay lethargic, the enemy's just going to eat your lunch. He's going to continue to take advantage of you. And I've sensed that in my own life at times where I have let my guard go down. I've began to let some things slip in my walk with the Lord. And the next thing I know, the enemy is he's just launching all of he's shooting all the big guns, trying to intimidate me, trying to, you know, hit you from every side at once so that you just crumble. And when I've been in those instances, that what has you know, what Jesus and what the Holy Ghost has drawn me to has been just simply taking His Word, putting His Word in my mouth and just saying it. And let's say, for example, if you want to turn over to, let's say, Mark chapter 11. Now, these are the verses that Kenneth Hagin, that he spent much of his ministry preaching about, Mark 11, 23 and 24. And so, particularly in times where I have been, let's say, a little lukewarm to the things of God, and right in the midst of that, see, the enemy, he's going to take advantage of that. And right in the midst of that, you know, he launches something against me. Let's say it's against my physical body. And I can attest to one thing, as I have been talking about healing and talking about believing for your healing. Boy, I tell you what, he's used every opportunity to convince me that this doesn't work in my own body. And so this is what I have had to do. I've had to take God's word, Mark 11, 23, 24, write it out, read it, make a prayer, write this out and pray this. And I'll kind of go into a little bit of detail with this because I feel like it's important. What's happened to me at times is when I've been in that, you feel like you're going in the backward direction, and then he hits you with like symptoms in your body. And the thing that you don't want to do, and I found myself doing this, is, you know, remembering what the Bible said. And you might say, well, Mark, that sounds like that's the right thing to do. No, it's not what you remember. Faith doesn't come by what you remember. Faith comes by what? Hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. You know, it's faith isn't by what you said, you know, last year or 6 months ago. Faith is now. It's right now. You need to get your Bible out right now. Look at that, because it stirs something up on the inside of you. It's that confidence as your faith is building strong in what you're reading and what you're confessing when you speak God's word. There's a strength that develops on the inside of you. And so this is what I've had to do. Get his word out. And you know, what I'll do first of all, let's say I'm going to be praying a prayer of petition or prayer to receive healing in my body. See, healing is an accomplished fact. It was accomplished in Jesus, in the stripes that he bore on his back, in his death, burial, and resurrection. Healing has been bought and paid for us. So when we go to Jesus for healing, particularly, and we simply need to appropriate what already belongs to us. It's not going to happen automatically. We appropriate it by faith. I like that word appropriate because it makes me think of like in the government, they have what they call appropriations. Let's say there's a budget. There's a big, huge budget, billions of dollars. And then what happens is the money is already there. It's already set aside. But then they appropriate that money to specific areas in the government. It's appropriation. And what has to happen is somebody has to say, look, you know, send me some of that money. The money's already there. It's already been collected. Taxes have already been collected. I need it. I'm sending this in for an appropriation to appropriate to my fund, to my section, a portion of what's already been received. Well, healings are an accomplished fact. It's already been bought and paid for. All we're doing when we're releasing our faith is we're appropriating what we have need of in our physical body, and believing that it's an accomplished fact, believing that when we receive what we've asked for when we pray. That is so very important. See, right there, that's the key to walking in perfect health, is believing at the moment that you pray that you receive it. And I was thinking about this earlier, because this is the area that a lot of people get tripped up in. And quite honestly, it's very easy. Why can I believe? Let's read the verse. Mark 11. We're just going to start 23 and 24. For verily I say unto you, whosoever... See that whosoever? We're not talking about just the super Christians. We're not talking about the people that are special, because there's nobody special. We're all special in the eyes of God. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I'm telling you, I have at times allowed the truth in this verse to slip right through my fingers. After having seen the miracle working power of God released because I have stood on these verses later, because I haven't continued to maintain that enthusiasm, maintain that fire, that focus on God's word. Before I know it, it's not going in. So there's nothing there in the well, so to speak. And before I know it, sickness and disease is coming up on this body, and I'm not prepared for it. Why is that? It's not because God did anything wrong. It's because I lost focus. I lost sight of what's truly important. I lost sight of the Word of God. I lost sight of continuing to feed my spirit man, do the things that most people just aren't willing to do. Most people don't even care about doing it. You know, they'd rather feed their physical man and starve their spirit man. They're not interested in the things of God. It's quite honestly what it boils down to. They're more interested in the things of this world. And believe me, there are people that are going to end up going to heaven that's made Jesus Lord of their life, but they lived their whole life focused on this world. And they were always subject to the things of this world. To the weakness, the sickness, the poverty, all the things that everybody else in the world, that they're subject to. You're not careful, you'll end up being subject to it just the way they are, even though you have the victory in Christ Jesus. We're not supposed to look like the rest of the world. And unfortunately, it seems like that's what everybody wants to do, look like everybody else. And that's not what Jesus expects out of us. He expects us to look, to act, to walk like Jesus. That's what God expects of us. To look like Jesus, to act like Jesus, to do the things that Jesus did without reservations, without any kind of pridefulness, realizing that it's God working through us. Amen? All right, let's get back to this. Verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. When do you believe that you receive it? When you pray. When you pray, you believe that you receive and you shall have. When you pray, not when it shows up. say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. No, it doesn't work that way. You have to believe it before you receive it. And it's not based on your actions. It's based on His actions, what He's done. And so, truthfully, on our part, there really isn't any work involved. See, and which brings me to this point. You know, Jesus is called our Sabbath for a reason. See, the Sabbath was the picture through all of those generations. Everyone that celebrated, that observed the Sabbath day under the law, they were doing it for one purpose. And that purpose was to see the work of Jesus and the fact that we couldn't do anything at all to earn what Jesus did for us. That's why on the Sabbath day, there was no work to be done. There was no cooking to be done. The Sabbath was a day of rest, because we're to rest now from our labors trying to make ourselves righteous. We're righteous in His righteousness. So the Sabbath that we celebrate now is Jesus. Very simple. It's Jesus. You think about all of those generations, all of the hundreds of years where people, even if they would have just picked up a stick on the Sabbath, they could have been stoned for doing that. All of that was for one purpose, so that people would understand that on the Sabbath, the Sabbath that Jesus represents for us, that it is that our salvation is based on the fact that we cannot earn it at all. The only way we access what Jesus did for us is to believe and to receive. You know, earlier before we went on the air, you know, I have to live the very thing that I'm teaching on this broadcast. I have to live it. And when I sat down in this chair, my shoulder hurt. It hurt. I don't know why it's been hurting. I don't know what the thing is that's caused it to be in pain, but it has been painful. And I sit down here and I look at this verse, do exactly the very thing that I'm telling you, where it says, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever shall speak to something, not to a person, but to something. In this case, he said mountain, but that was only a representation showing us that he's saying, speak to things. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, what? Be removed. He's telling us, Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is telling us, you need to speak to things. And you think about that. He's telling us to speak to mountains. He's telling us to talk to inanimate objects. Does that make any sense to the natural mind? It makes no sense whatsoever. What in the wide world, speaking to a mountain, what would that accomplish? Well, he said, if you command it to be removed and cast into the sea, and you wouldn't doubt in your heart, but you believe those things that you say shall come to pass, you shall have whatsoever you say. You have to say it. You have to speak it out of your mouth. You can say, well, why, Mark? Because Jesus told us to. That is all you need to know. He said it. It's based on the fact that we have authority in His name, authority that's invested into us through His, because of His death, burial, and resurrection. We have authority in this earth, and that, but we have to exercise that authority. We use the name of Jesus. And because we have faith in His name and what He accomplished, because we believe, first of all, let's get it down here to where the rubber meets the road. Can you believe that it's the Word of God? Can you believe that this is God speaking to you, that these are the very words of God, inspired, God inspired, man wrote it down, God inspired. Can you believe that? That's your starting point. Then can you believe that God cannot lie? He can't lie. Isn't that it's difficult for Him? No. He can't lie. It's impossible. So if He said it, then we've got to believe it. We have to know, just the way we know this is Him, this is Him speaking to us, just the way we know that, just the way we know that he can't lie. Just the way we know that He will uphold His word above His name. Just the way we know these things, we know that when we speak to the mountain to be removed and to be cast into the sea, and we don't doubt in our heart. Why don't we doubt? Because we're doing the very thing that God, who cannot lie, told us to do. And because when we do what He told us to do, we can expect the results that He said that we shall have. We can expect it. We can expect it just like you can expect the sun to rise tomorrow in the east. Just the way that you know that when you look out your window in the evening, that sun is going down in the west. Just the way you know that without a doubt. You can know without a doubt that when you speak to the mountain or you speak to the pain in your body and you command it to leave you, it has no right to stay. It has no choice in the matter. It can't, because God can't lie, and you are standing on the unchanging word of the living God. And as long as you stand there firm, not just stand there, but you believe in your heart, this is God, He's speaking to me, He can't lie. So because He can't lie, because I know it's Him, I know He's, and He can't change, then I know that this pain is gone from my body. I know that this pain cannot stay. And I'm going to tell you something. Within a matter of minutes, the pain left my arm, left my shoulder. It left. And the one thing you want to be on guard for is the enemy's persistent. Just because you chased him off, he's just like one of these mad dogs. He's liable to come right back again and try to convince you that he didn't leave in the first place. Baloney. He ran with his tail between his legs. Now, he may try to challenge you. Come back. Run him off. Keep running him off. Pain, you can't stay in my body. I have commanded you, pain, as I've commanded the mountain to be removed. Pain, you're the mountain I'm speaking to. Be removed. You are removed. You can't stay. You're cast into the sea. Why? Because I'm something? No. What I am is, I am something. I am a son of the living God. And that's something. That is something, because Jesus paid the price for me to be this. And I am not going to not honor what Jesus did in bringing me into the family of God. So yeah, I am something. I am a son of the living God. And I need to keep that in the forefront of my thinking. I am a son of God. My Father can't lie to me. My Father has told me to do like He does. He speaks. You see this in Genesis. He spoke. The Holy Ghost. He gave the command. Jesus spoke. The Holy Ghost moved and created the universe. And He expects us to speak His word, to give the command, to believe, and to watch the fruit of our words manifesting. Amen? That's what He expects. So have I let this slip? I have let it slip. Instead of speaking to the mountain, you know what I've done? I've done exactly what you've done. I spoke about the mountain. I told people how big the mountain is. That doesn't change the mountain. Talking about it. You know, sitting there taking pictures of the mountain. Sitting there, talking about how big it is. And no. See, all of those things right there are going to keep you with that mountain in your life. Instead of looking at it, instead of magnifying the mountain, causing it to be the biggest thing in your life, it's time to magnify Jesus. Make Him the biggest thing. And the mountain can't stay. It won't stay. If we turn our attention to the Lord Jesus Christ, worship Him, magnify Him, command the mountains of our life to be removed, and know in our heart that they're removed, because God cannot lie. All right? So that's the 23rd verse. The 24th verse, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive and you shall have. So as we're talking about, don't let it slip. Don't let these things slip. But we've acknowledged that we've all let them slip at times. And this right here is one of those areas. You know, I caught myself. And see, I've been healed of many things over the years. The symptom has attacked my body in different areas. And I have stood, I have confess God's word, and I have seen the miracles manifest in my body. Does that mean that I have been perfect every time in doing it? No. Nobody is perfect. We all let these things slip at times. But what is a sign of maturity is once you recognize and get a hold of this, once you recognize that you have let something slip, something that you have had revelation of, something that you have seen work in your life, and now you are not doing it anymore. You know, maybe you feel like you've graduated. You don't have to do it anymore. I got news for you. That kind of mentality will get you in trouble. You know, that's one thing that I've learned from the people, the ministers like Kenneth Hagin and Charles Capps, has been the fact that these basic things they continued while they were alive to go back and do the basics, never to get to the place where you just simply stop confessing God's word. You don't need it anymore. Baloney. There are going to be times that you're going to need to have this in the arsenal, And if you're trying to dig around and where is that confession at? When's the last time I confessed God's word? Well, that's been 10 years ago. That's been 5 years ago. I got to find that. I got to dust that off and start using that again. Well, I tell you what, you are in trouble. The enemy's got you where he wants you. I'm not saying it's not possible to get back on your faith. But the problem is that when somebody has gone that far in that direction, generally speaking, then they've lost the want to. And that's probably the first thing that's going to have to get stirred up is just simply the desire, the want to go God's direction, to do things the way God wants us to do it. You know, instead of doing something like this where like I've written out, and I'll read it to you. This was because there was physical things in my body. So the Heavenly Father, because this is an accomplished fact, talking about the healing of my body, and I'm basing it on Matthew 8:17, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. It's an accomplished fact. He already did it. Because this is an accomplished fact in heaven, according to your word, I appropriate the healing of my body. See, I wrote this down about myself, for myself. And then I expressed in here specifically what I am believing God for. I'm not going to go into the details of it, but towards the end of it, I said, as of 7:07, Thursday, September 28th, I believe I receive my healing according to Mark 11:24. Wrote it down. There's a time. There's a day and time that I believe that I received the healing for these particular things in my body. Does it mean that it instantly manifested as soon as I said amen? Absolutely not. Now, it doesn't mean that it can't. Doesn't mean that there aren't times that I said amen and the things have just gone. I remember, instance just came back to my mind. One night, I was laying in bed. It's when we still lived in Tulsa. And I had the chills. I had a fever. I was sitting there, laying there in bed with my clothes on, all completely covered up. And my teeth were chattering because I had chills. And I remember commanding that stuff off me. And in a matter of minutes, every symptom left me. You see, you have to continue to live this way. You can't rest on yesterday's victories. Because tomorrow there are going to be more attacks. You've got to continue to stay current. You've got to continue to that edge has to be there on your sword. Can't go looking for it, and I can't find that sword. I don't know where it went. I don't know what kind of scriptures to confess. There's got to be a book around here somewhere with some confessions, some healing scriptures, something. I don't know what to do. Well, I'm telling you what, you're so far in trouble, you don't even know. I'm telling you what, particularly if you have had victories, healings previously in your walk with the Lord, and you've gotten to that place now where you can't even find your Bible, you got problems, but you can come back. And how do you do it, Mark? Take God's word. I tell you what, just take it. Take a verse like Ephesians. You know, Ephesians chapter 1, go over here. You know, we're talking about, last week we, don't let it slip. This week's title is, I let it slip. Because we're all going to find ourselves in that place at some point. I let it slip. I let myself get weak in my confessions. And so, instead of running to somebody else to get the devil off my back for me, Instead of doing that, at some point we got to grow up and be mature enough, men and women of God, children of the living God, to take His word ourselves and on purpose sit there and put it into us. Ephesians chapter 1, God of our Lord Jesus Christ, Father of glory, thank you for giving to my spirit man wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you, the eyes of my understanding. Thank you, God. See, now you're going to fellowship with God around His word. Thank you, Father, the eyes of my understanding being enlightened that I may know what is the hope of your calling. God, I thank you that you're revealing to me the hope of your calling. Father, I worship you. I thank you for this. You can't get any stronger than His word, giving His word back to Him in faith through worship and thankfulness. See, this is, and I'm not going to go through that whole thing, but this is how you dig yourself out of the pit that you got yourself in because you let things slip. You know, you get right back on that horse again by putting His word in your mouth, by speaking it out, by fellowshipping with Him. The Lord said something to me the other day. I'll share it with you here in closing. He said, it's not knowing about me, it's knowing me. Well, there's a huge difference right there. So much of the body of Christ, they spend their time knowing about God. Now get this, get a hold of this. They spend so much of their life trying to know about God instead of trying to get to know God. See, knowing about Him and knowing Him, it's the difference between religion and a true relationship with your Heavenly Father. See, religion, they're just focused on trying to know all about God. You see, we're not in a religion. We're in a family. And our Father wants us to know Him, to fellowship with Him. And yeah, there's, like I said, there's just going to be times because of that undertow, that undercurrent that we live in this world, and that the world is a constant pull against us in a negative direction constantly. See, it's not always necessarily just the devil specifically or demons that's causing all of the ruckus in our life. A lot of times it could just very well be the undertow of the spiritual death that this world is influenced by, and we're living in this world. So we're being influenced to this constant pulling in this negative direction, and you have to do something on purpose to counteract it in your life. If you're not doing something on purpose to counteract it, before you know it, you're just going to be going right along with that undertow. It's going to suck you right back into the world. And before you know it, you know, 5 years became 10 years, became 20 years, and 30 years, and the next thing you know, you're standing in front of Jesus, trying to figure out, hey, what in the world happened? I thought everything was going okay, and the next thing I know, 30 years slipped by, and now I'm looking at you, Jesus, and I don't know where my life went. I don't know what happened to me. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm not going to end up like that. I refuse. Because I am going to take God's word and put it in my mouth and speak it out. I refuse to allow all the benefits of salvation, all the things that Jesus accomplished for us in His death, burial, and resurrection to slip right through my fingers. It's like sand. It's like sand pouring right through your fingers. You know, how does it happen? It doesn't happen all at once. It happens a little slip here, a little slip there. You know, instead of standing against the symptoms, you know, you start trying to run to the. Please don't misunderstand if I say it this way. I don't mean anything against doctors or going to doctors. All I'm saying is, if that's where your faith and trust is it, you're going to be limited to the things that doctors are limited to. I would rather not have those limitations. I would rather trust and depend on the Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished for me, so that there is limitless potential in me walking in divine health. Limitless potential. So, but there again, if I sit and allow the world to program me to the way it thinks, I'm going to be programmed with limitations. God is limitless. God expects us to be limitless, that we would use the name of Jesus, that we would see the impossible come into pass in our life. But he's not going to do it for us. And he's not going to grow us up for us. We're the ones responsible. We're the ones that have to do the things to mature us spiritually. He won't do that for us. You know, it's like a baby. When a baby is an infant, mother takes that baby and feeds that baby, and that baby grows and develops. But when that baby is 13 years old, mother's not having to breastfeed that 13-year-old anymore. Mother's not having to spoon feed that little 13-year-old boy or girl anymore. No, that 13-year-old better be taking their food themselves, eating that food from their own plate, not depending on mother to feed them. Well, that same principle holds true in the kingdom of God. When you're a spiritual infant, you just get born again, He has mountains of grace for us. And he'll allow you to just sit there and nurse week day after day and week after week from other people that have gone before you and from ministers and but there comes a time when you can't run to somebody else. When it's time, you're 13, you're reaching your bar mitzvah, it's time for you to accept responsibility for your own spiritual growth and development. And so here we are. Have you let something slip along the way? Hey, it's okay. Repent. Get right back at it and take responsibility. Don't blame anybody else for letting things slip. Accept the responsibility yourself and get right back at it. Get God's word coming out of your mouth. Amen. I'm going to pray for you right now. Heavenly Father, pray for everybody who will ever hear this message. Father, I pray for the people that have let slip. They're embarrassed, maybe. They don't know, how to get out of the mess they've gotten themselves in, Father. I pray that they will be directed to your word by your Holy Spirit, that they will be encouraged to turn to your word and to believe, simply believe your word, that you can't lie, that you can't change. Father, and I thank you that these people, that the people watching this, that they'll be encouraged, that they'll be excited, that they won't look at things and think, well, this is impossible. No. They'll realize that there's nothing impossible with you, Father. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.